Good morning and welcome to our Zoom service for Histon Baptist Church. When I offered to do this service, I wasn't expecting the events of the last 2 weeks to happen. Protests and riots around the world following an act of horrendous brutality perpetrated by someone whose job it is to protect and serve the people of his country for no other reason than the colour of the man's skin. We've witnessed a lot of protests because people have thought, this happens in our country too, in the system and in the way things are done. We've witnessed as well the most powerful man in the world firing tear gas on a peaceful demonstration so he could walk unaffected to a church and be photographed holding a Bible, bringing the high standards of the gospel into disrepute. And I prepared for the service and I reflected that part of this, the reason for these protests is because racism has gone on for too long, and I, along with many others, have been silent when I should have said something. It was difficult to know what to say and what to think, but in preparing for this service, I felt God telling me that saying nothing was not the right thing to do at all. So let's start this service with a prayer of confession to God, knowing that we live in a fallen world and that we are part of the reason it is fallen. So let's pray. Lord God, we live in a fallen world and we are part of that fallen world. We're sorry for the wrong we've done and the times that we have let you down and fallen short of the calling of the gospel. We're sorry not only for the times when we've done wrong, but also in the times where we failed to do or to act, or have stayed silent when we should have spoken. Forgive us, we pray, for all our sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and give us the courage and the guidance to do the right thing in the future. Your servant Martin Luther King made a very famous speech, and he said, "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." This is our hope, and this is our faith. With this faith, we'll be able to hew out the mountains of despair, out of the mountains of despair, a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of the nations into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. And so, Lord Jesus, as you pardon and deliver us from our sins, transform us into that beautiful symphony of brotherhood, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ who died for us. Amen.
James chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, and you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Praise be to God.
Well, we're looking at faith in the pressure cooker, the letter of James, and the pressure cooker is the place where things get done quickly. It's where you feel the impact of every decision and you don't have the luxury of time. It's where the difference between undercooked, perfect, and overcooked is measured in seconds, and blowing a gasket can happen often. Now, life can be difficult wherever we are, but once we get used to it, even this can be our comfortable space, our comfortable place. We're comfortable where we are. After a while, we can get comfortable in the pressure cooker, even. We have that ability to get comfortable almost anywhere. Like a cat, anywhere can be comfortable. It can become our safe place. And the idea of coming out of the pressure cooker can fill us with dread. We know this one because it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. It's bad, we say, but out there could be worse. But this is where James kicks in and talks about faith overflowing. James is saying the outworking of your faith is seen through your religion. Your religion, in chapter 1, verse 26, is seen in how you control your tongue, how you treat the poor, and your personal holiness in not blending with the world. And it is measured against the faith of Christ, who taught the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this section, chapter 2, 1 to 16, is about how you treat the poor and anyone else. James is building the evidence to make a remarkable statement, which we'll look at next time. He has started an argument about the poor using the glory of God as a goal. That was in verse 1. And our thinking being shaped by the mind of God. That's in verse 5. But knowing how we can get things out of balance, James, having talked about the poor and how to treat them, turns to the rich and says, you know, as a Christian, as someone following Christ, someone who is trying to do the outworking of their faith in how we treat people, should we despise the rich or who oppose the poor and despise wealth because it can pollute the soul? Do we renounce our worldly goods in order to follow Christ better? Do we look on wealth with contempt in our championing of the poor? And this is where James is coming to next in his raising of our standard of faith. Don't show partiality to the rich, but don't show partiality to the poor either. If you're not seeing rich and poor, male and female, employed and unemployed, adults and children, people of different cultures, genders, race, as equals, you're not seeing them from God's perspective. Your partiality does not show the extent of God's mercy. You're falling short of the faith he wants you to show. The world is waking up to this truth over the death of George Floyd. It shouldn't be the world telling us it's not fair. We should be telling the world that it doesn't matter what the color of the skin is. It doesn't matter what gender a person is. It doesn't matter how deformed they are physically or mentally. They are made in the image of God. And our faith should overflow to including them. So he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat them as you would want to be treated. Touch them as you would want to be touched or not touched these days. Speak to them as you would want to be spoken to. Speak about them as you would want to be spoken about. Honor them as you would want to be honored. Practice that in your home first and watch it transform family life. Try doing it over the garden fence. Try doing it on a Zoom meeting or at work. Now, although transformative, this is not the most important truth. Many think that it is. Jesus taught a higher truth from the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Deuteronomy 6:4. This was the primary response God called for when he rescued the Israelites from slavery and when he rescues us from sin. This was not to get God's forgiveness and blessing, but to live in it with a clean conscience. But it is the royal decree for those who call Jesus their king. So the most important one for those who accepted Christ. And he says, your faith should aspire to Jesus' faith, which treated everyone the same. Rich and poor, slave and free, male and female, adult and child, believer and not yet believer, friend and enemy, those close to God and those far away from him. is not a new law. It's from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. Don't seek revenge or bear a grudge, but love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that it's in the context of being hurt. Now, James could have said, obey this one because you accept Jesus as your king, but he doesn't. It's royal because it covers most things and speaks to the inner motives. Killing is one thing, adultery is another. They're full-blown sins, but desiring such things makes you partway there. Jesus teaches on that. Thinking about doing such things says a relationship is bad somewhere. If you're thinking of murdering me, and I don't blame you, and you've got plenty of reasons for it, I can guarantee you are not forgiving me, you're not loving me, you're not supporting me, you're not respecting me as a human being. If you're thinking of committing adultery with me, and who wouldn't? You're not thinking nice things about your spouse, if you have one, or Jill's feelings. If you're thinking of committing adultery with my wife, you're not respecting me or considering me or her desires. There again, if you murder me, then there are possibilities. The royal law covers the technicalities because it says loving your neighbor is the antidote to seeking revenge and bearing a grudge, the two things that come most naturally to people who are hurt. However justifiable they are, mercy covers them. It's not giving people what they deserve, just as God doesn't give you the judgment you deserve. So here is James. He comes in and he encourages us. James is preaching and writing to people in the real world, and he speaks of grace, offering people what they don't deserve. He speaks of mercy, not giving people what they do deserve. And that's how we are to treat the rich and the poor. This is the game changer in dealing with other people. And it's based on what God does for us. He gives us grace through Christ, and he covers us with mercy on the journey. And this law that he puts upon us gives us freedom, especially from a guilty conscience. Follow the law, not because it'll make you righteous, but because it'll free you to being clean before God. If James were writing to us today in lockdown, he'd be saying, have mercy on yourself and others. Don't be afraid of going into lockdown, as many of you were, and look at you now. But also, don't be afraid of coming out of lockdown, as many of you are. You see, we all show partiality to the status quo, but you and I are called to be people of faith who cling on to that living hope, as Lucy was calling it. So this week, I have a challenge for you to think about steps forward in doing things. If I am to do something old, like shopping, meeting friends and family, going to church, engaging with people who are different to me, and in activities, how will I do it differently to stay safe and show my faith? That is what I'd like you to consider today. Show grace and mercy. Give people what they don't deserve, as God has done for you. So let's pray together.